If there's one thing we know all about, it's Bears hype, and it's here once again with the start of the season, Monday Night Football, the Bears and the Vikings. Welcome back. It is Bet Sweats right here on the BetMGM Network. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Sam, Ben Johnson, your favorite for Coach of the Year. You're back 365 days. Matt Eberflus was the favorite for Coach of the Year. We'll see how it goes for Ben Johnson tonight. We'll bring in Jarrett Payton, a Bears analyst. He's on WGN News here in Chicago, also here about 670 The Score. JP, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Better than Sam's picks for Coach of the Year, but it's all good. What's going on, fellas?
I actually did not pick Matt Eberflus last year. Joe is just being Joe. We were laughing, though, because every year this hype ramps up. You know this. You've lived it. You breathe it. Every year. Every year it's the year. There's a lot of similarities between Cubs fans and Bears fans. Last year the win total was 8.5, and Matt Eberflus was the Coach of the Year favorite this time last year. Turn the calendar. As Joe said, the win total is 8.5. And the new head coach is the Coach of the Year favorite. It's like, it's a vicious cycle, JP. And some of these coaches, one of them is eventually going to break it, you would think.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's time for one of these guys to be able to break it. But I think the hype, it's every single year, you guys, and we all know this, right? We know that Bears fans come in optimistic that this is the year, things are going to change. This is a little bit different just because of getting Ben Johnson and kind of knowing his resume from being in the division and seeing what he did in Detroit. I think the hype was a little bit more. Plus, I think it was coming off of a year where you saw Caleb Williams struggle when it comes to, you know, taking sacks and trying to stay upright, but you look at the yardage that he put up and you're thinking, holy cow, you know, the Bears fans are all still searching for a 4,000 yard passer. He was pretty darn close. And so everybody's like, maybe Ben Johnson is the right guy, the guy to get Caleb on track and to get the most out of him. So I think the hype going into this season was doubled. But my biggest thing coming into the year, you guys, was just telling Bears fans to kind of like tape your expectations just a little bit, like pump the brakes a little bit. Let's enjoy this. Let's enjoy what the beginnings of what could be something special, but know that it's probably going to take a couple of drafts for him to kind of figure out what he wants to do and to have his type of roster. But I am super intrigued to see him talk about from the beginning of building an offense around the players that he has. And go back into the Matt Nagy days. That was never the case. It was like, this is my system. You have to fit in it, where mm-hmm. Ben is a one of one. This is my system. I can build it around people. And for me, I'm here for sustained success. I want long-term success. I want this team, the Bears, you know, consistently in the postseason, in the hunt for the postseason every single year. So I'm not expecting that this season. So I'm expecting it long term, and hopefully that comes with Ben Johnson being one of those guys that is Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. If you want to build it right with longevity, slow down. Bears fans, you know, and it's not just Bears, it's other fan bases, 0-60, because they see other teams go from worst to first place. Like, that happens with this league, you know, with injuries or just everything hits perfectly. And the one successful season that the Bears have had since Lovie Smith was Matt Nagy's first year. So they think that can happen. Like, okay, it's all going to go right. Like, no, it's not that easy. It can for 1 year, but long term, you've got to build it the right way. So I'm glad you bring that up. Everybody wants everything immediately. I think about the run game. We know Ben Johnson wants to run the football. And if you're watching that Detroit game yesterday, oh, crap. They had no run game to speak of against Green Bay. It's the same pieces. It's the same dudes for the most part. You didn't have Ragnow, but the same backs. Pretty good line. They could not run the ball at all. How are the Bears going to run the ball here? How are they going to do it this year?
Let me tell you something, though, real quick to go back to that game.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, for sure Jahmyr Gibbs. I was like, you know what? It was, I think the line was like 60, so I don't know, it was 60 something, maybe 70 yards. And so I was like, ah, you know what? I'm going to just take 90 rushing and receiving. That's going to be cake for Jahmyr Gibbs. And when I went to check the app, I was like, are you kidding me? So that was a big part of what Ben Johnson was all about. It was establishing the run. And that's going to have to be the case for the Bears. And I know everybody wants Caleb to have the success that here in Chicago that, listen, we all do. I want him to be super successful. I would love for him to throw for 4,000 yards and a bunch of touchdowns and not a lot of interceptions. That would be great. But when it comes down to it, the game of football, you guys, is just I know it's so difficult when you look at schemes and figuring out pass protection and what defenses are doing, what offenses are doing. But it's still built on the principles that it was built on and the foundation that's running the football. And to have success in the league at some point, you have to be able to run. It is very rare that I've been going to Super Bowls since 99 to give out the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. Every team that gets there more than likely has a run game. They can run the ball. It's very, very rare. I think that one year and a good offensive line most of the time. So that year that the Bengals went with Joe Burrow and lost, I was like, that offensive line was horrible. But I was like, it's not normal. So for the Bears, it comes down to DeAndre Swift and can he be the guy? And I don't know if it's just him being the guy. It has to be in some ways pretty similar to what was going on in Detroit for Ben Johnson. I think it's going to have to be a mix of lightning and thunder. Can you find that balance? Is a guy like Kyle Manunguy going to be a rookie, be able to come in and be that power for you? But to establish the run early, and especially tonight, if they want to find a way to get a dub, they're going to have to control the game on the ground. And that's going to be tough against a Brian Flores defense, which brings so many different looks, so many different blitz schemes. And when they bring it too is always crazy. Second down a lot. You have to find ways to have success on first down to make it a manageable second down and then be able to pick your poison. But to me, for Caleb to have success, the run game has to be on. And they have to find a way, whether it's inside zone, it has to be some outside zone as well. And then also mixing in those screen games. And I think that's where tonight you probably see DeAndre Swift have some success. He's such a good back out of the backfield, but also as well get him in space. And with them bringing pressure, I think it's going to give them opportunities for the screen game with the running backs to be able to get those chunk yardage plays.
What's your pulse on the total tonight? 43.5 total points between both teams. When I throw 43.5 out there, what's your reaction?
I think it's low for a reason. We have two quarterbacks who, let's just go with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, J.J., so many question marks surrounding him. Like, not going to any Vikings practices, I was just like everybody else, just searching on the interwebs, trying to find, different videos of him during camp. And there was times where I was like, holy cow, this dude, what kind of ball was that? That was amazing. To then going, what is he doing there? So I'm feeling like that is going to be probably what we'll see tonight as well, where he will make some. I mean, anytime you've got Justin Jefferson on the football field, it makes it a lot easier. Adam Thielen as well. I mean, a veteran guy. So those guys will make the job easier. I think it's low because I think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I hate taking unders in games. Like it just, every time I do it, I just really want to I don't even have hair. I just want to pull it out. I don't know if can the Bears score. There's a lot of question marks, and I don't think going into week one, I might take the under in this game, but it's so low that it's hard, Sam. I would probably it's screaming under, but I would probably just take the over because I just want to see points.
Yeah, not a lot of overs yesterday. Only a couple of them, as Sam has pointed out. With Jared Payton here on BetSwitch, Joe O, Sammy P. You understand offensive line play. Your dad, the greatest running back to do it when you played. You are a running back. So I know you have lifelong connections with some offensive linemen. So I'm looking at these two teams. Of course, a lot of chatter here in Chicago about the changes on the offensive line, the needed changes, three new starters across the center of that O-line. Well, it's the same thing with Minnesota. They had a very successful year, and they made a lot of changes too. Does it take time to gel? How long does it take? Is that going to be an issue for both of these teams early on in the season with two very young quarterbacks?
I think it takes a little bit of time. I think it's weird now in this day and age where you're not getting a lot of game reps because of how shortened the preseason is now. So, and depending on how much guys are playing, the starters are playing, you don't get a lot of it. So a lot of it coming during practice. And I think those joint practices to me are probably even they could be even more valuable than getting the game reps, right? Because you're getting a chance in a controlled environment to be able to go up against the other team's dogs. So you get a chance to be able to do it. So yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but if you have veterans on that line, and I look at just what the Bears did on the interior, I think you're fine. The biggest issue is when you look at that offensive line for the Bears and what they did in the offseason, the issue is that left tackle position. To me, that's still a question mark. And Braxton Jones is going to get the opportunity to be able to start this season as the guy. I feel like we've seen a lot of Braxton. So I don't know how he holds up, and you're coming off of an injury from last year. How much is your lower half? Like, are you truly ready for that long grind? That's yet to be seen. But I think with the interior, guys like Joe Tooney, like, you get an opportunity to have dudes that have done it and that have won, a guy like that that's won championships, that's been in big time games, that leads by example. I think they will be fine. Pass protection is always a question mark because you don't know. But I think the one thing that unites all offensive linemen is running the football. Like, that's what they've always done. It doesn't matter what system you put them in, running the football. Guys want to fire off the ball and, like, just get nasty. Those dudes don't want to be catching blocks all day. So if you can find a way to mix in and have a good balance on offense, I think it's only going to help those guys. But I think with the way that, Joe, the way that the preseason is, it's hard to tell if guys have gelled or not. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is being done inside of training camps.
We got about a minute and a half left, Jarrett. By the way, you and the Peyton family are going to be honorary captains at the game tonight, which is so cool. Dude, to see you guys out there. I'm going to be tailgating. I'm not going to make it in, but I can give you my favorite Bears bet. It's Roma Dunze for the whole season, over 850 yards. Do you love that, or do you love that?
I love that. And the reason why I say that is because one of my big keys and what's good moments on my show GN Sports was, I think this is the year that Roma Dunze shows that he is the future of the franchise. So I think this is going to be that calling card year for him. And I think he's going to have a big year. I still think that DJ probably has more yardage tonight, but I also think that Caleb has a lot of weapons at his disposal. So he's going to be able to choose. And I think it's going to be kind of game by game of seeing who's going to be on, who's not, and who gets the most targets. But definitely love Rome for over that total.
JP, we've got about 30 seconds here. I'm pretty sure that you're going to be on the Bears in the game. Give us a Bear to get into an end zone, get into the end zone. Who's scoring a touchdown tonight?
I really think the connection between Lamide Zaccheaus and Caleb is something special. And I think kind of obscure. I think it's obscure, but I think him or Colston Loveland getting into the end zone tonight is definitely a good bet, and ones that I might be putting on my slip, but not sure yet, because I hate taking touchdowns. I just really do. I'm a yardage receiving reception type of guy, but I hate waiting for touchdowns. Even though last night I had Derrick Henry for one, took it off the slip, and then lo and behold, he was a monster last night.
Woo! Yeah, he was. I am with you on Loveland. You can get that at about 4-1. Ben Johnson wants to show everybody why they drafted that dude so high. Jarrett Payton, thank you for joining us tonight. Have a lot of fun. That's going to be a great experience. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network. All right, we're going to find out where the room is at for Monday Night Football. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, BetSweats, thanks for hanging out. Fun checking in with Jarrett Payton there. He was telling us during the break about his parlay from Sunday Night Football that missed because of the Ravens leg. Ravens to win, hits everything else. Classic. Just classic. Should have told us beforehand. We definitely would have talked about that. Those stories are fun.
Bunch of parlays last night that I saw, not only from my friends, but on social media. Book It Trent had his surgical six. And Trent is notoriously a self-proclaimed fade god. That's what he calls himself. It's in his Twitter bio.
Yes.
Trent's very funny. Great follow on social. So he gave a surgical six yesterday that was 10-1. It's a money line parlay. Bengals, bang. Cardinals, bang. Buccaneers, bang. Jaguars, bang. Broncos, bang. Ravens. Last leg to complete the six-leg parlay. Oh, imagine if you are 5 out of 5 and your last leg is up 40-25 in the fourth quarter. That's a winner. That should be easy. That's a layup. Nope. Man. Killed a lot of parlays last night.
Damn. That's rough. I want to talk a little bit about Chiefs because that game gets hidden, right? In the whole landscape. It's a Friday night. Not as many people are going to watch that game. I believe it was streamed and, you know, you kind of forget about it after Sunday and Saturday is full action there. But one other game that did not get much chatter on this show. We mentioned the Jaguars one was weird. Like, yeah, Liam Cohen did a great job. They get the win. Hunter didn't have a fantastic game. They ran the ball a ton. ETN was awesome, by the way. So that had me thinking, is he going to be a bigger part of the offense than we were thinking? 143 yards. Jaguars run for 200. You quickly mentioned the Giants stink. Certainly fair. Russ stinks. It's going to happen. When does it happen? How do we time the market? I think you stepped away. I was talking with Paul a few minutes about it, because that was my reaction from that Giants loss yesterday. You know, yeah, it was one of my picks, but as soon as I saw it was the biggest public dog of the day, I knew that dog was dead. But they're going to go to Dart. When are they going to go to Dart? Can we time it? Yesterday, Titans lose, so I don't think Ward jumped out ahead of anybody. Now, if he plays the whole season, he's going to rack up some stats. Okay, fine. But numbers-wise, he put up nothing. They lose the game, so I don't think he really gets any credit from yesterday's performance. So Dart missing that game is not going to hurt him in the long run. But I wonder how much they're going to stick with Russ. He's not getting a lot of money. Dart is second on the depth chart. And last check this morning, I saw him at 20-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. If he's going to get an opportunity to play the majority of games, I'm saying like 12. Give him a dozen games in New York, has any sign of success, I think Dart will have a chance.
It looks like the Steelers, the more we look at it, not to overreact to one game with Aaron Rodgers throwing 4 touchdown passes, but for the Steelers to go from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers looks to be a pretty decent decision. Again, one game, but Russ just had no mobility yesterday. And, you know, the Commanders got through that line a ton. Again, Andrew Thomas did not play, left tackle for New York. Russ does not have that escapability, maneuverability anymore. And that's what a Brian Daboll offense needs. So you would think that that would happen. I hope they go to Dart, too, and not Jameis. Because Jameis is the backup.
They're going to go to Dart. Yeah.
They should. They have to see what they have. Because the roster around the quarterback is fine. The quarterback is the issue there, and Russell Wilson is not the answer. We know he's not the long-term solution. Go to the kid.
Ibuka, there's a move. He's the third favorite, right behind Cam Ward. Goes Gentry Ward Ibuka. Okay. 110-1. Marion Hampton had in the Chiefs Chargers game, he was used as the bell cow. He was the guy. The problem is you didn't get the production. I think it was 48 rushing yards for him. But Hampton's still going to be in the mix, of course. In that game, Chargers over the Chiefs, 27-21. Chargers closed as a three-point dog. They went outright over in Brazil. Herbert had a good game, man. 318 yardage, three touchdowns there. He spread the ball out. He hasn't had weapons in the past, not enough of them healthy. Quentin Johnston, he was their top receiver. Yeah, Ladd McConkey, and they bring back Keenan Allen. He spread it pretty even with those guys. Nice group of receivers. Maybe we're going to see some big-time performances out of Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that was a game I was really impressed with the Chiefs' defense up front. So I'd like to see Hampton, you know, earn his keep. I'd like a little bit more of a sample size. I mean, to run against the teeth of that Chiefs' defense is never easy. The issue you have when you look at the path for Hampton is he's got to do this against the Broncos defense and the Chiefs defense, you know, a couple more times collectively. So I think Hampton's fine. If anything, I would be looking to maybe buy a little bit more stock. He went out to one book at 15-1, which is where I initially bet him in the summer, and then he came down to 7 or 8 to 1. It's only one game, Joe. We cannot conclude who the offensive rookie or player or whatever is after just one game. So, no, I would – if anybody missed the Hampton bet from – we talked about it after the draft, I like what I see there. And Najee Harris is not really in favor anymore in Los Angeles. So Hampton will be just fine, I think.
Yeah, the only question would be how we're going to be with the offensive line. Offensive line health is going to be big there. But, yeah, we know what the head coach wants to do. He wants to run the football. On the Chiefs side, that Worthy injury hurt them. You've got the Rice suspension. So early on, it's going to be tough. It might be challenging for them to put up points. But they went to Hollywood Brown a ton. 16 targets, Sam. If you're thinking, Kelce, oh, it's going to be all Kelce his final year. Hollywood Brown got 16 targets in that game. He looks to be a guy that's going to get all the looks, at least early on. We'll see what happens with Worthy, but with the Rice suspension.
And Kelce gets that first touchdown. So we had talked about that number, 4.5. That was it. Very disrespectful season-long touchdown market on Travis Kelce, 4.5. He also, I don't know if this was talked about enough, he hit the touchdown and then did a bull riding dance. I don't think he realized he was in Brazil, not in Spain. I don't think that was chronicled enough. Did you see the dance? He did the bull rider dance, but that's not a Brazilian thing. That's a Spanish thing. Whatever. Semantics, I guess.
No, I don't think it is semantics. I think he did know where he was. I think he actually thought that that's what they were known for.
No, he was wrong. Very wrong.
Yeah. We like to point that out for sure. Where's the room? Let's take a look. Monday Night Football for Bears Vikings.
Where's the room?
I'm chuckling because some of these bets are very, very stupid. Here's the thing. Maybe we've mentioned some of these bets today and we'll be scared off. However, there are only so many props to choose from. So when you have a single game, it is the props market. We've got most bet player props. We've got most bet anytime touchdown scores and most bet first touchdown score. Sam, you tell me, where do you want to start? Player props, anytime touchdown, or first touchdown?
Wherever the wind blows you, my friend.
All right, let's go with your guy. Player props. Number 5. Rome over 47.5 receiving yards.
That's number one.
Number five.
Number five.
So we're working our way up. So I don't think that's a big deal. Number 4, McCarthy over 16.5 rushing yards. Okay, so they go with the quarterback there. Number three, Loveland over 2.5 receptions at -165. Okay.
I like Loveland. Yes, too. Gotta lay the 160.
I like Loveland, but I'm going touchdown. I'm not laying -165 for three grabs. How about a guy that JP just mentioned, Zacchaeus, over 18.5 receiving yards at -130. I did notice that at most other books, that number is into the 20s, but MGM is keeping it at 18.5, but you got to lay a little bit of juice.
That's the number two prop right now for the public. Zacchaeus over, good grief.
Yes. Yep. And number one, Caleb, 25 plus rushing yards at -110.
I have a buddy who's going to the game tonight. He's a Vikings fan, big Vikings fan. So take this with a grain of salt. He says the Bears are going to have negative rushing yards today.
Is it the guy I met at the bar?
Yes. Yeah. He says negative rushing yards. Is he being a little hyperbolic? Probably. But if you really think about the Bears running room, it's not anywhere near one of the best in the league. I think they're going to throw the ball a ton. They're going to have to because they're going to be in 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, a ton. I do not think the Bears are going to run the ball with a lot of success. Negative rushing yards is a wild take, but I did laugh when he said that this morning. He's like, the Bears are going to have -3 rushing yards.
I know what he's saying. So, well, let's bet Swift unders. Alt unders is what he's saying. Ben Johnson wants to run the ball. I don't trust any of these running backs. I don't trust Swift for a second. I don't care who he's running behind. Not against this defense, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, I love this Minnesota defense. Yeah. I've probably been talking to John a little bit too much. But the Grenard number for sack, when you brought that up this morning at +2.25, I think he's going to get a sack for sure. I mean, nothing is a layup or a lock in this racket, and I hate people that say that. I don't know how they're going to stop all these guys. Van Ginkle, Grenard, Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. Like, you can't. It's an un-double-teamable defense. You cannot double-team them. So you got to pick somebody, and you got to put them on an island, and Grenard is a tough matchup, and he's not a household name. You know, if this was a guy like T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett or Aiden Hutchinson, if that was his name, he'd be +150 to get a sack. But because a lot of people don't even know who he is, he's +225. He had 12.5 sacks last year.
In the two games last year against the Bears, he got a sack in both.
Yes.
He got two in one game, one in the other. Why is this the number? Tonight. Why is this
Caleb's
the number?
Caleb holds on to the ball way too long, and I don't
he
think
took
that's
68
get
last year.
I don't think you can fix that overnight. Yeah. The whole goal for Ben Johnson is to bring Caleb Williams along. It's not to fix him for Monday Night Football Week 1. It's to iron out his game and correct the bad habits. But that's not going to happen in 60 minutes tonight. That's not going to happen. He's going to take sacks. He's going to.
I love it. I love Grenard for a sack tonight. That might be my favorite bet the more and more we talk about it. Okay. Anytime touchdown scores, I'm going to start through the most popular. Number one and work our way down. You can guess who it is, right? Who's the biggest star on the field tonight?
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, +125. Number one, most bet anytime touchdown scored. Number two, guy we were just talking about, Swift at +155. Bears running back. Number three, Vikings running back. Aaron Jones, +155. See, I didn't even see a number out there earlier on him. Number four, one I like, Colston Loveland at nearly 4-1. And number five, Caleb, 5-1 for an anytime touchdown score. Okay. A lot of the same names for first touchdown. Jefferson is number one, 6-1. Aaron Jones, Swift, DJ Moore in the mix at 10-1. TJ Hockenson at 12-1 for first touchdown. That makes sense. I also like betting tight ends for that prop.
I still think the wildest bet of all the bets we just talked about in the room, the Loveland over on catches at -160 is crazy. Would never be me, ever.
Rookie first game. And this is someone who likes Loveland for a touchdown. I like him for a touchdown given the situation, given the odds. But laying $1.60 at over 2.5 catches, so a little bit of volume with a rookie tight end, it usually takes a little bit of time for that connection. Okay. All right. I don't understand that. I don't mind the Zacchaeus bet. There's a reason the number's been going up. I get it. You don't want to overreact to preseason, but he went to him a lot, again and again, every time he was in there. He's going to Zacchaeus, and he was going to the tight ends. So take that for what it is. Lightning bets on the other side. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Oh, man. Joe O, Sammy P. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. During our Grenard conversation, received a message from one of our listeners, Brandon, and he mentioned the Green Book. We were talking about the Grenard price. I got to double check to make sure that's still out there. But he said the Green Book has Grenard for a sack at -119. So there you go.
The +225 is a lot nicer.
Yeah. Let me see if that's even still available. Yes, but you're going to see that. I saw that yesterday with Parsons. I was talking about it on game day, and I saw one book had -140 and another book had +125. Not as big of a gap, but a massive difference. So this market and some of these websites, when you look it up, but they show different prices, they're not always up to date, and they don't show everybody's price. But yeah, take a couple minutes and shop around if you plan on betting something, because you're going to save yourself a lot. Like when we're talking about a 65-cent gap, like that's obviously worth your time.
Right. I like Odunze tonight, and there's a huge range on him. So the receiving yardage number is as low as 46.5. Oh, never mind. BetMGM just went to 47.5. I guess they're listening to Bet Sweats. So 47.5 is the low end. The high end is 50.5. If he lands at 49... I mean, come on. You're over 47.5, you're a winner. You're over 50.5, you're a loser on 49. You got to get the best of the number. I use this website every day during the season, ftnbets.com. They have this thing called the prop shop. You type in a player, type in a team, it populates the player in every market that's up. 47.5, 47.5, 47.5, 50.5, 50.5. Where are you going if you like the over? To the 47.5.
That site that had +225, it is now +106 for Grenard.
Well, look what we did, Joe. We've ruined it. We ruined the Grenard market.
Not bad. I think it's still a good bet.
He's getting a sack tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a good bet, but you want to shop around on those. He's the second favorite after Van Ginkle to get a sack. How about that? The top three guys in this market are Vikings. Van Ginkle, Grenard, Hargrave. Tell you something?
They do have a better defense and a better roster, but if Caleb Williams can be the best player on the field, the Bears could undoubtedly win. We got an update from Bob, who had that parlay. He had that nine-leg under parlay.
Yes.
8 of them hit, and the last one is Chicago, Minnesota, under 44.5. Looks like he took your advice, and he bet over 43.5. For a nickel at even money. So if it lands 44, he hits the nuts. He would middle this. Mm-hmm. He'd hit the under 44.5 and hit the over 43.5. He also did some bets on over little numbers. He went over 39, over 39, smaller bets with profit boost. But he did end up hedging. I believe the payout was about 1,500, right? Or was
it
1,700? $1,700 yeah. Was the initial bet. So he's putting about a third of that on over hedges.
But he's like, look, I didn't bet anything, too. There's that angle as well. I don't mind it. I don't hate it. It depends what kind of bettor you are, right? Or how much risk you want to put out there. And he risked nothing. It was just a free bonus bet that was sitting in his account. He's like, okay, I'm going to look at it, use it. It's a good angle. Smart angle. Division unders. You had a bunch of divisional matchups, and I think he bet all of them. Maybe there was another under he threw in there that was not a divisional matchup, but man, there was a ton of them. Great job.
Yeah.
Great job.
So he's saying his minimum take home is $815. Best case scenario, it lands on 44. He'll win $2,500.
I hope that happens for
I hope he wins.
I know. It could. It could very well do that. And then you don't have to mess around with, maybe I'll get a bigger middle. I'm going to watch the live line. You don't need that sweat. He's like, okay, I'm just going to take what they're giving me. I'm going to take this right now. It's free money. And that's how some people do it, and some people want the bigger payout. It depends what kind of bettor you are. All right, Sam. So, okay. We could talk about it because you brought it up earlier. GRP becomes a tout, selling picks for $100 a pick. Bit self-deprecating in his video, made the worst bet on the board. He took Miami in the pick that he's selling, the pick that he's charging. No idea how many customers he has. I don't know if he has one customer that's paying $100 for those picks. But I just saw a video during the break that I was playing for you guys. Didn't have time to get through the whole thing. His next pick, he posted it. How's that work? You're charging $100. That's what I was playing. Yeah. Hmm. That's what I was playing.
So maybe he's giving everybody a freebie because the pick was so bad.
Because he felt so bad about it. Okay. So now we have our pick, right? We're going against it?
What is
yes.
it? What's the bet?
He's mad he didn't get it last night or earlier when it was 7.5. He took the Jets.
Oh, really?
We can find the Bills at -6.5 right now.
I hear Jake clacking. I think Jake is looking it up to fade. I can't tell.
Yeah.
Can't confirm or deny. Moon?
Are we willing to do this after one game? We're like, okay, you're the fade, the new fade god.
I understand the natural letdown spot for Buffalo after exerting itself late in that fourth quarter and beating one of its biggest rivals. I understand it situationally.
Sure.
But are the Jets going to do that again on offense? I don't know.
That's a lot. Total 45.5. Whew. Did seem like the Bills had to empty the kitchen sink just to get there. But, man, that offense is scary. They have so many receivers. And Keon Coleman, if that's a glimpse of what we're going to see this season, man, I don't want to go against them.
I have no thoughts yet on Georgia's week two pick. I need time to think about it.
Okay. But I want to see what happens. I can't wait. I love this. It was so bad. You had one pick, and it was done immediately. As soon as the game started, it was over. It's perfect. Love it. Okay, official picks for tonight. Sam, where are we going?
I like Adunze over 47.5 receiving yards. I do. I think he's a 1,000-yard guy this year, and I've talked about this on many shows, over on his season-long number, 850.5. I think he has a big season. He's the best receiver. And I think Ben Johnson will figure that out right away. Maybe he already has. So I like over 47.5, but I do have the Vikings to win the game -120 on the money line.
All right. Very good. I've got a couple of touchdown props for tonight. Let's go Jordan Mason. Vikings backup running back. We're getting a little bit of value. I'm not going with Aaron Jones, even though he's a Bears killer. We're going 2-1. With Mason to get into the end zone against this Bears defense. And on the Bears side, we're going to go Colson Loveland. He is now 4-1. 4-1 for an anytime touchdown. Damn. I keep thinking about Zacchaeus for first touchdown of the game. 19-1. If I'm going first touchdown bet, that would be my route. You can go Loveland. You can go Zacchaeus. But I could see Zacchaeus being that guy, 19-1. Let me check on the price for Loveland. It is about the same price, 20-1. But we'll go Zacchaeus. if you're interested in doing that. Are you going to bet Grenard or just going to stay away from it at this point?
I liked it a lot more at +2.25 than -106. No, I don't know. Probably not. Considering where it was and where it is.
And we just want them to have a good game. Monday Night Football, Vikings defense, DPOY, right?
I have enough tickets floating around on Grenard at 100-1 or higher. I'm good. Just grab a sack or two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe five.
Yeah, and then we can talk tomorrow morning about how much the market has moved on him for DPOY. All right, let's get to the fellas. We'll start with Paul Aspen. Paul?
That's where I was going, Joe. The key is 20-1, first touchdown at BetMGM.
Yeah.
So, in on that. And I'll play one on the other side as well. I wanted to, like, go way down the board to Josh Oliver at 33, but I think I'll settle on TJ Hockenson at 12-1. So, those are two first touchdown bets. And then I've got a free bet to burn. So, went in the lab. Could be argued that maybe it's a meth lab, but the Bills, Utah to win the Big 12, and Dodgers to win the World Series, 200-1.
Oh, Bills Super Bowl, Dodgers World Series, Utah Big 12.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the party, Paul. Welcome to the Bills party.
Throw Masters bet in there, coward.
Scotty, I put it in. Scotty, 900-1. If you had Scotty.
Oh, my God. What about Zalatoris? If you flip out Scotty and put in Zalatoris.
No.
Yeah, I'll just go.
Paul owns the casino after that.
Wait a minute. One more idea. Yeah. Take out Scheffler and put in Figala.
Oh, God. No.
Could you imagine needing that?
Paul. It would
imagine
have to be.
Imagine needing that for the last leg.
I would not like to. Jake, go. I'll get back to you.
The app just exploded.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mr. MGM is knocking on Paul's door right now to take him out. I'll be on the Loveland touchdown as well. I like that. I'll be on Rome with Sam in perpetuity. Nope, that's not what that means. Never mind. Anyway, you know what I mean. And still baseball, I will go Nolan McLean over 5.5 Ks and the A's on the money line.
All right.
See you at the tailgate, everybody. Shoot
There's
me a text.
There's a lot of commas in this number.
There's a lot of commas.
$100 There's a lot of commas. He can't figure it out. He can't figure out what the number says.
We'll build it later, Paul.
16,000 to 1. 16,000
Let's
to 1.
Go.
100 wins, 1.6 million.
All right. Have fun at the tailgate. I expect many photos. Jake, see you there. For Sam and the fellas, I'm Joe. We'll talk tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.